This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Now to the long-running Hollywood trial that has opened a window into the secretive world of movie financing. The verdict is finally in. Sahara, starring Matthew McConaughey, was one of the biggest movie flops ever. It opened 2 years ago and has lost more than $100 million. Sahara was based on a novel by Clive Cussler, who sued the movie's production. Cussler said he should have been given final script approval. The production company, run by Denver billionaire Philip Anschutz, countersued, saying Cussler did not promote the film as promised. Well, yesterday, both sides won or lost, depending on how you look at it. Cussler was ordered to pay the production company $5 million, but Anschutz has to pay Cussler more than $8 million. We're joined now by Los Angeles Times reporter Glenn Bunting, who's been following this saga. So you covered this trial, and from what I understand, it was pretty ugly.
They basically aired all their dirty laundry in court, and there was a lot of accusations, cross-accusations. It was very confusing for the jury because there were so many allegations flying about.
Well, I assume that none of this would have happened had the movie actually been a success.
The movie itself didn't do badly. It opened up the number one at the box office, also did fairly well on DVD sales. The problem is the production costs were so high. It started out at $80 million budget. It soared to $160 million. It financially will go down as one of the greatest stinkers of all time, $105 million in red ink to date.
Well, tell us some of the more outlandish budget items you found.
One of the things we found is that the male lead, Matthew McConaughey, got $8 million, while the female lead, Penelope Cruz, only got $2 million. Each of the co-stars got what is defined in the budget as star perks, their own personal tailor, their own personal fitness person, their personal chef. They had security guards. And those star perks for each of the two leads amounted to nearly $1 million per person. My favorite was the local bribes. When you're in a country like Morocco, you've got to get things done. Production schedule means everything. And basically, there was cash paid at a number of sites to kind of get things done to locals. And people we talked to said that they'd never seen anything like it in that they were so bold as to be honest and put down local bribes in the budget. Generally, you find out a different way to put it in.
Is that legal?
Well, it depends who you talk to. There are laws that say that it is not legal for a U.S.-based corporation to go into a country like Morocco and to bribe government officials. There was one project was about $40,000 to stop a river improvement project. And where that money went exactly, we don't know.
There's another one that you've mentioned in your reporting, and that is at $2 million for a 46-second clip that was never used.
At the beginning of the movie, there is this very short clip and kind of black and white done in the studio. It was the first scene shot, and it was basically a crash scene of an airplane. The Kitty Manic was the airplane. Despite its cost and despite the fact it was the first one, at the end, they just decided, you know what, it doesn't really work, and we're going to take it out of the movie. The other thing that was interesting about our budget was we were able to uncover what the cost of marketing and advertising and promotion was. And in this case, it tacked on about another $100 million. So you got to $250,000. Philip Anschutz's hope, and the reason why he gave an unprecedented $10 million per book to Clive Cussler, was to make this an Indiana Jones-like franchise. So when you get to your second, third, and fourth movie, the sequels, you've got that built-in audience. Well, he's obviously never going to get that far.
There's not going to be Sahara Part 2, 3 and
there
4.
There will not be Sahara Part 2.
Okay. Los Angeles Times reporter Glenn Bunting, thank you.
Thank you.